Brother David, did someone ask that we sing that song?
Sister Christy wanted to sing it.
Did she? Yeah. Well, I had intended to ask you to sing that song, and I didn't get to you in time. The Spirit of God is certainly guiding and directing our lives. There's so many times that that happens where Brother David will call out a song, and it's one that just is exactly saying exactly what's on my heart relative to the Word of God. And that's the subject that's on my heart tonight. We began this morning trying to study the beauty of us having fellowship in the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the saints of God at Philippi, and he said, I thank my God for your fellowship in the gospel. Now, I'm not sure that I'll be able to completely get across what's on my heart tonight, but I believe that there is a double bond of fellowship that we have with some of God's people. One is that when we have fellowship in the gospel, that is, we agree in our understanding of what God's Word says and what the truth of God's Word is. For example, I think that most all primitive Baptists that I know, most of them at least, believe in the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace. So we have fellowship in the gospel at least pertaining to the doctrines of election and predestination. That's a degree of fellowship in the gospel that we have because we agree on those subjects. Then there are a great portion of primitive Baptists, or it used to be a great portion of primitive Baptists, that believed in the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. They believe that all of God's obedient children have the privilege to dwell in the kingdom of heaven while they live here on this earth. And they understood what is referred to in the scriptures as the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And so it is that we were in more harmony and more fellowship. We had more gospel fellowship with those who not only believed in election and predestination, but also understood the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. So that was a greater degree of fellowship, of gospel fellowship. Now, there is, in addition to gospel fellowship, I believe that the Word of God teaches us and shows that there is a tremendous amount of fellowship that God's people have as they walk in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God. Now, you can say that is different, or you can say it's the same thing as gospel fellowship. I'm talking about something that I believe is different than simply gospel fellowship. I believe that gospel fellowship primarily is talking about things that we agree on as far as what we think God's Word teaches. But then there is fellowship that comes when we are walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God. When we are serving God, when we are disciples of Christ, when we are trying to walk, this song says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. Now, I believe that walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God brings about fellowship with others who are walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God. For example, I believe that there are many of God's children who might not understand the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace, and they might not understand the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, but they fear God and they love God and they're walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God. You understand what I'm saying? They're walking in the light. They're trying to serve God. They're obeying God. They fear God and they keep His commandments. They don't have an understanding of the gospel doctrines, but they're trying to walk in a way that would honor and glorify God. Now, I believe that there is fellowship that all of those that are trying to walk in light, in the light of the gospel, those children of God that are trying to walk in the way that would please God, they have fellowship. Just like those who believe the same things about the doctrines that are taught in the Word of God, they have fellowship. They have gospel fellowship. I'm not sure what to call this fellowship about those that are walking in the light. What's wonderful is when you can find people that agree on the gospel, on the doctrines that are taught in the Word of God, and they also are walking in fellowship in doing what God's Word says to do. In other words, there are a lot of people in this community that I have a lot of fellowship with because they try to walk in the light. They try to obey the commandments of God. They try to serve God. All of you have friends that you know that they love God and they fear God, and they're walking in the light of God's Word. They're trying to walk in the right way. They're trying to not do things that are wrong, and they're trying to do things that are right. Don't you all have friends like that? That don't understand the truth of election and predestination and salvation by grace, and they don't understand the gospel of the kingdom, but they are trying to serve the Lord to the best of their ability and would disagree with us on a lot of the doctrines that are in the Word of God. So we don't have gospel fellowship with them, but there is fellowship in Christ that we have with them. And that's what this song is all about, is fellowship that God's people have that are trying to walk in the light of God's Word, that are doing what's pleasing to God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, that's obedience, see? When we do His good will, He abides with us still, trust and obey. And then the last verse of that song says, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. You see that? We're talking about doing things that honor and glorify God. And there are, in the Word of God, there are many scriptures that talk about the fellowship that God's people have when they're walking together in the straight and the narrow way. And what I have such great, wonderful joy in with you is not only that we have gospel fellowship, but that we're trying to walk together in the light of God's Word. In other words, I have these brethren in the community that they're trying to walk in the light of God's Word, and so I have fellowship to that degree with them. And then there are other primitive Baptists that I have fellowship with them to the degree that they believe in election and predestination and salvation by grace, but they're not really interested in walking in the light of God's Word. So my fellowship with them is very limited. But what a great joy it is when you find people that agree on the gospel and they know the truth of the gospel and they're also trying to walk in the light of God's Word and serve God and not do those things that would disobey God and do those things that would please God. That's a double kind of fellowship that we have. And that's what I thank my God for tonight, is the gospel fellowship as well as the fellowship we have as we try to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. We have fellowship with God. We have greater fellowship with God when we have gospel fellowship with God, and when we walk in the light of His Word, we have more fellowship with God. He manifests more fellowship in our lives, and we have more fellowship one with another when all of that is in harmony. Look now in your Bibles at 1 John. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John, very end of the New Testament. Three little books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Not the Gospel of John now, but you have 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. The Word of God here is talking about this fellowship that is a result of us doing what God's Word tells us to do. I had a young lady that called me yesterday, and she said, Brother Billy, and she doesn't live here, but she called and she said, Brother Billy, I want you to pray for me. She said, I tried to tithe several months ago, and it just didn't work out. And she said, I ended up bouncing checks and everything else. And she called me then, was mad, because she said, I tried to tithe and it doesn't work. She said, I bounced 4 checks and I owe $140 in bounce checks. And just furious with me. And I hadn't told her to tithe. But she was mad at me because she had tried to tithe and it just didn't work for her, see? I said, well now, are you telling me God wrote all these bad checks that you're talking about? But she was still mad. So, hadn't heard from her in 2 or 3 months. And then she called yesterday and she said, Brother Billy, I've tried to tithe again. I want you to pray for me that it'll work out this time. Well, Don't the people of God who are trying to tithe, who first of all, they understand God's Word teaches tithing. Yes. And then the people of God who are tithing, don't they have fellowship with each other in that one area of God's Word? And then you think about all the other areas. When you think about other things that God's Word teaches for us to do, like being in the house of God, don't you have special fellowship with the people of God who not only love God, but they come to the house of God and they want to sing and they want to worship God? Don't you have special fellowship with those that come to the house of God? And the more we come together, the more fellowship we have. Our bonds of love grow stronger the more that we are together. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still. I want you to understand we're talking about fellowship with God as well as fellowship with each other. Look now at 1 John chapter 1. Listen please to verses 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 1. I want fellowship with God. I want fellowship with you. We want fellowship with each other. But the most important thing is that we have fellowship with God. Now if you have fellowship with God, you're going to have fellowship with the other people of God who have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I have good friends that, one or two friends, I won't say good friends, but I have one or two friends that they say they're just as close to God as me or anybody else. They don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't study God's Word, they don't do anything else that God's Word says. Well, they don't do most everything God's Word says, but they say they're real close to God. Well, here's what the Word of God says. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Can a person be deceived into thinking that they have good fellowship with God when they don't have good fellowship with God? He says we lie and do not the truth. Now listen to verse 7. Here's the positive aspect of that. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What's verse 7 saying? If we walk in the light, us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Do we have fellowship with God when we walk in the light? And do we have fellowship with others who are walking in the light when we're walking in the light? We have fellowship with God and we have fellowship one with another when we are walking in the light. Now, when I stop walking in the light, I lose your fellowship when you're walking in the light. I think that we all know and understand that once you stop walking in the light, you lose that fellowship that comes. You lose fellowship with God, but you'll find in your heart and your mind and your soul you don't love the brethren and you don't feel the fellowship of the brethren when you stop walking in the light. You lose fellowship with God and you lose fellowship with the brethren. You begin to feel ostracized. You begin to feel like nobody loves you. You begin to feel like everything's wrong. You think everybody's against you. But the fact is, the reason you're having all of those feelings is you've gotten away from the fellowship that you ought to have with God and the fellowship you ought to have one with another. You just cannot, I can't have fellowship with you. It's not that you don't have to declare non-fellowship. You don't have to take any kind of strong position. The fellowship's just not there when you're not walking together in the light of His Word. But when you are walking together in the light of His Word, you have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. You don't even have to work at fellowship whenever you're walking in the light. It's just there. You don't have to say, well, now I'm going to conjure up this love and fellowship with the brethren. It's just there. You just feel love flowing from heart to heart. You feel the love of the brethren. You hug their neck and you can feel the love. You feel their heart. You love their neck and you can know that we are one. We are in fellowship. We are in harmony. We are in partnership. You feel the love of God with the brethren when you're walking in the light. Now what happens when you don't walk in the light? What happens to the fellowship? It's gone. That's right, it's gone. Do you still love each other? Should you still love each other even when somebody's not walking in the light? Absolutely. Let's look at God's Word and see what the Word of God says. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to 2 Thessalonians, just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the Word of God does state, even though I said earlier that you don't have to take an active declaration of non-fellowship all the time, and you don't. But you do when a person goes so far away from God that they're in open rebellion to God's Word and God's way, then you do have to declare non-fellowship with them. Some people think you just don't love Jesus if you declare non-fellowship with somebody. But you don't love Jesus and you're not following His Word if you have fellowship with everybody in this world. And I hope you'll see that before this is over. God has not taught in His Word that we're supposed to have fellowship with everybody in the world. In fact, He teaches the opposite of that. The Word of God says that if we're going to be a friend of the world, we are the enemy of God. But you can't have fellowship with everybody. Look now in your Bibles at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every..." What's the next word there?
Brother.
Every brother. Are we talking about children of God here? We're talking about children of God? Absolutely. We're talking about children of God. "That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that..." What's the next word? "Walketh." What's the text that we're talking about from 1 John 3? Say, if we walk in the light, walk. If we, that's being a doer of God's Word. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, if a brother walketh disorderly, what does the Word of God say? Withdraw fellowship. "That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Come down to verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. He continues and he says, "And if any man obey not our word of this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." What is the purpose of fellowship? What is one of the purposes of fellowship?
Communion with God.
Okay, communion with God. What's another purpose of fellowship?
To keep each other honest.
Okay, to keep each other honest. What's another purpose of fellowship?
Self-esteem.
Okay, it encourages other brethren, doesn't it? I feel better when you have fellowship with me. It encourages one another. What's another purpose of fellowship?
Joy.
Say it again.
To bring joy.
To bring joy. To whom?
To brethren.
Yes, to both. Both. When you have fellowship with someone, they feel joy and you feel joy. There's a tremendous amount of joy when you have fellowship one with another. Now, he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, that if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Is there a specific purpose spelled out here as to why you would not have fellowship with someone? To shame him, that he might be ashamed. Now, does that mean you don't love them and you don't pray for them? No, but you don't have fellowship with them. Do you see that? You don't have fellowship with them. Look at the next verse. After he tells you to note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed, he says in verse 15, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You still love him. He is your brother in Christ. You admonish him, but you don't have fellowship with him. Does everybody follow that? It's the loss of fellowship. For what purpose? Why do you stop having fellowship? That he may be ashamed. Why do you want him ashamed? So he'll do what? So he'll turn. So he'll repent. That's the whole purpose of withdrawing from a brother and stopping fellowship, is for that brother to come to his senses and be ashamed and realize, I've lost fellowship with God and with my brethren. Because people can lose fellowship with God and never realize it if you continue having fellowship with them while they are walking in darkness. Everybody follow that? If there is no change in your action and reaction and your fellowship with people, no matter how they live, then they think it's all right to live that way, and they sometimes go all the way down a path of destruction and their lives are destroyed and they never knew they were on the wrong path. But if you'll stop having fellowship with them, don't count them as an enemy. Admonish them as a brother, but you stop having fellowship. The intent and purpose and desire is to convert that brother from the error of his way, that he might be ashamed that he has lost the fellowship of the brethren. Back up in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, just a moment. Back a few pages before where we're reading right here. And look at Ephesians chapter 5. First notice verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Do you know that's what your condition was before God came to you? You were not in darkness. You were darkness. "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Does this connect with what we started out with in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6? If we walk in the what?
Light.
If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Is that different to some degree with gospel fellowship? Do you see? We can have gospel fellowship, believe the truth, but not walk in the truth. You can have gospel fellowship without having this fellowship that we're trying to look at tonight. It's limited. I understand that. But still, there's a degree of fellowship you have when people agree on the truth of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Then he says in verse 11, "And have no what?
Fellowship.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And again, what is the purpose of reproving those who are walking in darkness? What's the purpose? According to 2 Thessalonians 3:14, there's a word that's used there. What is the purpose reproving them? What's the purpose?
Shame.
To shame them. That's right. To cause them to be ashamed of the way that they're walking. Are there people that commit adultery and they're not ashamed of what they're doing? Are there people that are living in other ungodly ways, but they're not ashamed of what they're doing? The reason they're not ashamed is because the church has stopped doing what the Word of God says for it to do. If the church would withdraw herself from that person, note that man, and avoid him, it would have an effect on that individual's life. Go with me back just a moment now to another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's another principle in God's Word relative to fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and about having fellowship and not having fellowship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 14. And we'll just stay in the Corinthian letter for just a few minutes here in closing. But I want you to notice, as we kind of start here in the middle of 2 Corinthians, and he begins to emphasize the importance of fellowship, and he emphasizes the importance of non-fellowship. Is it just as important to understand what God's Word says about non-fellowship as it is to understand what God's Word says about fellowship? Brethren, we ought to work to maintain fellowship. Did you know that? The Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue." Could something happen and us lose fellowship? Brother Neil, we got good fellowship right now.
Right now.
Could something happen?
Yes.
Absolutely. Isn't that true of all of us? I think we have as good a fellowship as there is on this earth right now. But I want you to know, brethren, that if we're not careful, the devil can enter into my heart, your heart, and into the church and cause a conflict and split and a division in the body. And so it is that we must constantly be working and laboring. We need to realize how precious fellowship is. What did Paul say to the saints of God at Philippi? "I thank my God for your fellowship in the gospel. And I thank my God for the fellowship that we have." The main burden of my heart tonight is that every one of us needs to understand, first of all, how important that fellowship is, and we also need to understand we could lose that fellowship if we're not on guard at all times. We could even lose gospel fellowship. Did you know I can totally lose a knowledge of the truth of God's Word? Right now you probably think I know the truth on the kingdom of heaven, and I think I do. But you know, I can lose that truth. I've watched it happen to many people. That once they knew it, I've watched people that understood election and predestination and salvation by grace, and it's gone. That knowledge of the truth is gone. And Peter tells us, under the inspiration of God, that if we're not careful to maintain good works and to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance, if we don't add those things to our lives, we will become barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will forget that we were purged from our old sins. Can you believe that a child of God could ever forget that he was purged from his old sins? Doesn't that seem almost impossible? And yet that's what God's Word says can happen, that a person can go so far away from Him, they forget that they were purged from their old sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to verses 14 and 15. The Word of God says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Do you hear that second expression there? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If you're participating with individuals that are walking in an unrighteous way, my question from God's Word is, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? If you try to join hands and join fellowship with those that are walking in an ungodly way, it's going to drag you down and remove your fellowship from Christ, as well as your fellowship from the other brethren that you once were so close to. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath what? Light with darkness. What's 1 John 3 say? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, what happens when we start walking in darkness? And what happens when we begin to have fellowship with unrighteousness? We lose the fellowship with God, and we lose the wonderful fellowship of the brethren. Brother David, I'm thankful for the fellowship we have. It's a blessing. I'm thankful for the fellowship that we all have one with another. I think I'm probably the happiest man on this earth. I really do. I don't think there's a pastor on this earth that's been blessed as a pastor like I've been blessed. God's been good to me. I see so many pastors that they serve one church after another, and they spend their entire ministry, and they never have a church. They never serve a single church that's willing to follow what God's Word says. Now that's sad, you know it? That's sad. And they just keep moving from one place to another, but they are never rejoicing in having gospel fellowship as well as walking in the path of righteousness of fellowship with the brethren and sisters in the body. We are blessed in a very special way. Back up just a moment now to 1 Corinthians chapter... I'm just going to back all the way up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's a lot of talk about non-fellowship. Did you know that? Tremendous amount. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're not going to stop there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Word of God tells the church at Corinth that they are not to have company if any man that's called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. And he says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's something God told the church to do. All the way through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, God keeps emphasizing that the church cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness. You cannot have fellowship with darkness. If you do, you lose fellowship with God, and you will also lose fellowship one with another. Here's what he says now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what I wanted to lead up to from 1 Corinthians, and this, and we'll close right here. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing." Now how in the world can we all speak the same thing? Brother John, how can you and I agree on Romans 1:16 or Romans 2:14, or how can we agree on all those scriptures? Can you tell me how we could ever agree on those scriptures? Amen. 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 That's it. If the Holy Spirit is teaching you and the Holy Spirit is teaching me, we're going to be in harmony on what God's Word says. That's what leads to gospel fellowship. The only reason that Brother John and I have gospel fellowship is he followed what the Holy Spirit taught him on the Word of God. You know that's an amazing thing? It's for us to follow what the Holy Spirit teaches us in His Word. The Spirit of truth will always guide you into all truth. And then we'll all be speaking the same thing. It doesn't, listen, I want you to listen carefully. I have no fear of any man in this church standing in this pulpit. I want you to listen carefully. I have no fear of any man in this church standing in this pulpit and teaching something contrary to the truth of God's Word. I believe that at this point in time that we're all of such harmony, we have such fellowship in the gospel, that I can say, Brother Dave Gerson, you speak. Brother David, you speak. Brother Mike, you speak. Brother Steve Pierce, you speak. Brother John Smith, you speak. Brother Wendell, you speak. Brother Chris, you speak. Brother Rich, Brother Jerry, I can call on anybody here to come and take, doesn't matter, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And what a marvelous thing it is that we all speak the same thing. It's because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes and guided us into all truth. I also have confidence that you will not only teach the truth pertaining to all the fundamental doctrines and the doctrines of the kingdom of heaven and all the things about the gospel, but I also believe that we all are in harmony on how we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to live in our lives. Now, I can find great peace in just sitting down and hearing one man after another speak from God's Word, and it all harmonizes with the truth of God's Word. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, and by the way, let me ask you this. Was there unity in the church at Corinth? In 1 Corinthians, was there unity in the church?
Yes.
No, sir. They were as split and divided as a church could be. They had adultery in the church. They had drunkenness in the church. Any sin you want to think about, it was there in the church at Corinth. And there were schisms and divisions, and some were saying, even the people that were trying to live like, some were saying, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. All kinds of divisions. That church was in a horrible mess. And so he says in the beginning now, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that's the key of what I'm trying to get across tonight. That we be of the same mind and of the same judgment. That we all understand the gospel the same way, and that we all try to carry out the same judgment that God's Word calls for in His Holy Word.
A pure language,
exactly. The book of Zephaniah speaks of that. A pure language. It's based on the Word of God. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in the bonds of peace. We're to endeavor to keep the unity in the bonds of peace. May God help us as long as we live to rejoice in the fellowship with God and fellowship one with another is my prayer for Christ's sake.